During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Second half of the program begins right now, coming to you straight out of Chiefs training camp. Our camp coverage brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. Final practice here in St. Joe tomorrow. Weather could be a problem, so keep an eye on that if you were planning on getting up here for the final practice. Rain in the forecast, so if we hear anything here at 8:10, we will pass it along to you immediately as to what the outcome is. There will be no word until tomorrow. That's the word that we have been given. Mm-hmm. The word is no word.
No idea. We'll find out tomorrow.
So there you go. So stay tuned. The Border Patrol will give you the update as soon as we have one tomorrow morning. Let's go drilling around the country 2 minutes at a time, talking to the people, covering the stories where they're happening. You know, we do it every Monday and Friday. Let's start with our buddy Ryan Green, 1010XL in Jacksonville, Florida. He's first up here on the drill. Ryan, how are you, bud?
Saran, I'm good, my friend. How are you doing?
Well, you know, I don't have any Chiefs players, you know, putting veiled threats against me on Twitter. Which is what? Is that what got Ramsey suspended, or is it the fight? Is it everything? What's the latest on this situation?
Yeah, basically, Saran. So yesterday, I mean, the Jaguars have had 11 full padded practices so far in training camp. Doug Marone is not letting up on these guys at all after the AFC Championship game performance a year ago. So it's hot. It's Florida. It's August, and I think, you know, tempers were beginning to flare yesterday. Dante Fowler, who actually just got back in the lineup, had been dealing with an injury. He got into it earlier in the practice with tight end James O'Shaughnessy. Players had to break that up. That part of the practice we were not allowed to film, being members of the media. There's, as I'm sure you know, out there in Kansas City,
right,
like portions that you can report on, you can film. There was a second issue, Dante Fowler and Yannick Ngakoue, which is interesting because those are the two young defensive ends here. Ngakoue, a third-round pick in 16. Fowler, a first-rounder in 15. And Ngakoue is just a better football player. There's no question about that. You wonder, you know, if just the emotion of Dante Fowler spilled over and him and Ngakoue got into it. Long story short, that was the problem yesterday, is that was recorded, posted on social media. That got Jalen Ramsey, the Jaguars, all sorts of upset. He then requested the PR department to bring him back out to address us yesterday. We're basically saying he thinks the coverage the Jacksonville media provides is bad, and some guys are going to not talk to us now, and you know how it is. But that's the issue, is Ramsey was kind of taken up for his guy in Fowler. Both guys are suspended, but at the end of the day, it all falls on Dante Fowler's shoulders. He is the reason all of this came out yesterday.
Yeah, by the way, interesting, James O'Shaughnessy. That red-ass O'Shaughnessy, we remember him here in Kansas City, always causing trouble. That's a joke. You know, I don't ever remember any kind of trouble with him, but it's funny to hear his name mentioned there. Listen, and you also said, well, you know how that – I don't. I've never actually had guys say, we're not going to talk to you because of this. I mean, it was the part of practice that you can film, right? I mean, you know, so that's it. That's how it works. Like, don't get in a fight. Is this a case where Ramsey has just gotten to the point, like, he just feels that there are no rules or boundaries to him? He's such a brilliant player that no rules apply to him, and he can say or do whatever he wants.
Well, Saran, Ramsey also voiced his displeasure with, I guess, negative reporting on him not being at the first week of training camp due to the birth of his first child. I don't think there was much negative reporting about that. We just simply stated he was not here, gave the reasons why. I went back and looked at least what I said in particular on Twitter and whatnot, and I actually took up for Jalen Ramsey. If anybody, fan base, et cetera, was upset about him not being here for the first week, I said that was ridiculous. He wanted to make sure his girlfriend and his little baby girl were well taken care of before he came. The interesting part to me is the Jaguars have been awful for the better part of the last decade up until last year. I think, and I'm included in this, I think the media here in Jacksonville, we've all been a little too soft. If, you know, you're 11-37 in a three-year stretch in New York, Chicago, Boston, even, you know, out there in Kansas City, places in the Midwest, I'm sure you guys would have killed this team for their ineptitude. I don't think they got near the negative press that they should have, being that bad for that long. Now they're coming out complaining about negative press when times are good. That, to me, was the most interesting part of yesterday's events.
All right, real quick, what's your expectation for this season? What kind of follow-up do they have? A lot of times teams that come from nowhere to being really good kind of have a regression year before, you know, getting back to being good again. What do you expect this year from the Jaguars in about 20 seconds?
Saran, I think they're going to be good. Obviously, it depends on injuries. That goes without saying. But if everything's status quo and they stay healthy to a certain extent, I have no doubt this team should win the AFC South once again this year.
All right. Great stuff, as always. Ryan Green in Jacksonville. Appreciate it, buddy. Have a great week.
Thanks, Saran.
Softy, our buddy at KJR in Seattle, Washington. Dave Mahler's with us. Softy, how are you, buddy?
What's happening, big boy?
Well, a little training camp. I'm here watching them take the practice dummies away, and we know what kind of expectations we've got here in Kansas City. I saw one prediction had the Seahawks winning four games. The over-under number on the Seahawks hitting very high. What are the expectations for the Seahawks coming into this year?
Well, it depends on who you ask. I mean, if you ask the, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Seahawks fans that are drinking the Kool-Aid, then they think they're going to go 16-0, win the whole damn thing. If you ask anybody who's got maybe a little bit of impartiality and maybe a little bit of a brain and sees the talent they lost from a year ago, then they should take a bit of a step back. They were a 9-7 football team a year ago, and they obviously lost Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, Cliff Averill, Michael Bennett, Jimmy Graham, Paul Richardson, and may not have Earl Thomas. So, I don't know. I mean, you tell me, is that a football team that looks like they're going to be better on paper or worse on paper?
No, they've lost so much on that defensive side of the ball. Earl Thomas, what's your gut tell you? Is he going to be back? Is he going to play? Are they going to give him a new contract? How's this end?
No, he's not getting a new contract. I mean, my gut, Seren, says he shows up probably halfway through the year and, you know, make sure he gets his year in of service, and then he plays the rest of the year out and then walks away as a free agent, and that's it, that's all. And the Hawks maybe get a third-round comp pick for him, depending on what they do in free agency themselves over the offseason. But, yeah, I mean, this whole thing is just a mess. I mean, the Seahawks went to Earl Thomas or went to his agent, apparently, and said, we have no interest in re-signing you, which I don't know why they would have that kind of a conversation with a guy like Earl Thomas, who's been here for 9 years, has been a stalwart, has been nothing but phenomenal in the community, nothing but phenomenal for the football team in the locker room, and to just not even be willing to have the discussion to re-sign and do an extension, I find that hard to fathom. I mean, look, you know, again, the guy's getting older, but he can still play. There's no question about that, and you may not want to re-sign him to the kind of money he's looking for, but to just completely dismiss the idea of extending him after this year, I don't get it. So now he's no longer a part of the team, at least for now. We're talking about Tedrick Thompson, the second-year guy from Colorado. We're talking about Bradley McDougald, who filled in for Cam Chancellor at strong safety a year ago. I mean, the options right now in the secondary are kind of thin, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they are. You know, it's just they're so reliant on Russell Wilson. And if he goes down, it is one of those years. That's how you end up going.
How many teams can say the same thing? If they lose their starting quarterback, they're screwed. I mean, there's not many teams out there that have a capable backup that can obviously keep things afloat when a guy like that goes down. But, I mean, you know, look, we're hoping that the big difference is with the running game, Seren, a year ago versus this year. They got the kid, Penny from San Diego State in the first round, Chris Carson, who, ripped up his knee in the Colt game a year ago in week four. Looks like he might be on the way back. So their running back depth is better. Their offensive line should be better. But I think for now, and again, they can show us differently starting in September, but for now, the days of counting on your defense to carry the load and to win games potentially 14-10, 17-13, those days for right now appear to be over.
Softy, two words for you. Chad Henne. Chad Henne, backup quarterback here in Kansas City.
How about Seneca Wallace behind Matt Hasselbeck from years ago? How about DeMarc Jackson starting for this football team, for crying out loud, man? It can be worse, trust me.
Hey, this franchise gave tens of millions of dollars to Matt Cassel, for God's sake. All right, let's talk about the Mariners as they are trying to circle the wagons and get back into this race. They sweep the Astros, I think it was. I know four in a row, but I think it was the Astros they swept over the weekend.
Yep.
But somehow, like, they're a miracle worker. 19 games over 500 while being outscored by 22 runs. Which is real, the 19 over 500 or the outscored by 22 runs?
Well, see, here's the thing about the run differential that I don't really understand, and maybe you can explain this to me like I'm an idiot, which is easy because I am an idiot. I mean, that could be out of whack because of four or five games where the M's got destroyed, and the run differential could be ridiculous because of four or five games they played over the course of the season. Take away their top four or five wins where they got smoked by eight or nine runs, and then tell me where that run differential is in the other 110, 115 games they've played. So the Rangers won 90-plus games, I think, 3 or 4 years ago with a run differential barely over zero. So, I mean, they are what they are, right? Dennis Green, right, with the great quote, they are who we thought they were, whatever. So, I mean, look, in the end, the Mariners have been playing over their heads, I think, a little bit because nobody expected this. Nobody thought their pitching staff would be as good as they are. Nobody thought Marco Gonzalez would be a top 15 ERA guy in the American League. Nobody thought Wade LeBlanc would bounce back and have the kind of year he's having. And nobody would thought they'd be doing all this without Felix Hernandez and Robinson Cano, who obviously Cano's back tomorrow. And for the most part, Felix Hernandez this year has done nothing, and now he's in the bullpen for the first time in his life. So it is a bit of a surprise, but they are here now. They're a game and a half out of a wild card spot. They're four games out in the West, and they just won't die. Just when you think they're about to expire and go 6 feet under, they come up and they sweep the Astros. So we're going to know a lot more, I think, Soren, after this series starting tonight. This is a big series this week tonight against the A's. They got 10 games left against Oakland, and I think everybody assumes that those 10 games will dictate whether or not this team is in the playoffs for the first time in 17 years.
All right, in about 15 seconds, I spent the whole weekend cramming on college football to get in my preseason AP vote. I got an AP vote this year in college football.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'll tell
Don't
you what, I love me some Washington, man. That team, everything I read, all the stuff I looked up on them, is that team good enough to run the table, go undefeated, and be in the playoffs?
Well, they got the biggest game of the year likely against Auburn in the opener. So if they can get that one, that's a monster hurdle to overcome in the opener. No question about it. You know, Jake Browning 2 years ago was the Pac-12 player of the year and then took a major step back a year ago. And with two senior tackles, a senior quarterback, a senior running back, everybody back in the secondary except for one guy, everybody back in the defensive line except for one guy, which is a big one, by the way, in Vita Bay, who's now in Tampa Bay. I mean, Chris Peterson looks like on paper he's got everything he needs.
Yeah, it does. That team looks absolutely loaded. Softy, great stuff as always, buddy. Have a great week.
All right, pal, see ya.
Chris Russell, 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C. Chris, how are you?
What's up, Soren? How are you?
I'm good. I apologize. I took Darius Geis with the number 2 overall pick in a dynasty fantasy league. So and I got nothing but injuries. Deion Kane of the Colts. Yeah, I got him too. He's out for the year. How big a blow is this for the Redskins? What do they think they had in this kid?
So you're the curse that Redskins fans think is going around the franchise, huh?
Yeah, it's me. Trust me, I have all the hurt
guys. I'll just blame you moving forward. I'll just put it on you, and if it's okay, I'll send them your address. Is that
please.
All right?
Yes, please do.
So I mean, obviously, it's a big blow. I'm not going to try and sugarcoat it. Jake Rudin can say, "Oh, you know, they thought he was the best player at the draft, but they were really happy with their running back situation." The bottom line, the fact of the matter was Doug Williams, who many people will remember for what he did in that one Super Bowl, as the Redskins quarterback, who essentially serves as their de facto general manager, told everyone who would listen and even those who wouldn't listen that they desperately needed an upgrade in their running back group and their running back game. And that's why they drafted Darius Geis, who they could have drafted in the first round if they really wanted to, and ultimately got at number 59. I mean, look, there's no doubt they lose his talent. They're in better position to deal depth-wise, I think, than certainly if this would have happened, say, last year. So that's a positive. Losing him in preseason game one is a positive. I guess if you're looking for silver lining in the rainbow, you have time to adjust and you have time to build other plans. But the bottom line is, and you guys in Kansas City know this better than anyone, right? If there was no Kareem Hunt last year, would Alex Smith been as good down the field and as explosive in that offense as he was ultimately? Probably not, right? Well, that's what they were kind of counting on Darius Geis to be here in Washington.
What are the early returns on Smith?
I think they're beyond thrilled, happy. They're more happy because they don't have the contract nightmare to deal with that they dealt with for, quite honestly, the last 2 years with Kirk Cousins. But you guys know he takes too many sacks. You guys know that a lot of plays break down in the pocket, and he'll scramble around, and he'll make a lot of big plays, as he did just about an hour ago right in front of my own eyes, where he scrambled to the left and picked up a big chunk yardage against the Jets around left end. And he does that very well, and he killed the Redskins with that on that Monday night game at Arrowhead last year, and that was part of the reason why they love him. What I've seen is a little inconsistency in terms of passing, if I'm being honest with you, in terms of accuracy. I think that's still getting there and getting on the same page as a lot of his receivers. A lot of his receivers have been in and out of the lineup. It's only camp. He didn't play in the preseason opener the other night. I expect him to play on ESPN against the Jets on Thursday night. Chiefs fans that are interested, if they want to see that in the Redskins home opener. So I do expect him to play a series or two there. One thing I just would like to point out, and maybe this was a criticism of him in Kansas City, I will say this. I have been impressed when I've seen him scramble and I've seen him run and I've seen him move around. Unlike a lot of mobile quarterbacks, he does a pretty good job compared to most of squaring up his body and squaring his shoulders and getting his mechanics in order. So that's a good sign, I think, for a guy who scrambles around a lot and buys a lot of time with his legs.
All right, Maryland football, a horrible tragedy occurred there. And now suspended head coach, a lot of allegations that it is a program run on fear and intimidation. Yeah. But then people coming to the defenses of the program, and one of them, Will Muschamp, who coached with DJ Durkin down at Florida. He was Muschamp's defensive coordinator at Florida. What is reality? What do we know reality-wise? Is this just, listen, a horrible tragedy occurred, and so now there's probably some overreaction with what is obvious concern, or no, is this shining a light on what was a horribly run football program?
Yeah, so I'm not really close to the program, so I want to qualify and start with that. But I do know some people there, and they're very concerned. You know, what's alarming to me is besides the fact that a young man died, and they didn't call 911 for almost an hour after he showed major cardiac signs of heat exhaustion, heat stroke, however you want to label it, almost an hour. That can't happen. I don't care whether it's the football coach, whether it's the trainer, whether it's medical personnel, whatever the situation is, you just can't allow that, right? So somebody's going to have to ultimately pay for that. It's going to be the university in terms of lawsuit, and it's probably going to be the head coach in terms of his job. Ultimately, I think that's where we're heading here. Now, Friday night when this story first broke, the Baltimore Sun said, no, DJ Durkin's going to be the head coach, at least for now, for the remainder of the year. By Saturday late afternoon or Saturday evening, he was on paid administrative leave. As far as Muschamp goes, look, you and I have been in this business for a long time, right? We've crossed a lot of paths. We know how this business works. The only way we get the truth in most cases, especially from coaches, executives, and general managers, and owners, and all those people, is by sources and by good, honest reporting. And this is not one source. This is 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 well-corroborated sources. So even though they're identified, Will Muschamp is out of his freaking mind, and he's just defending a friend, which I get. You can defend a friend and a friend's noble character and him as a dad and a husband and all that crap. Great. Do that. Don't kill the media, number one. And number two, be cognizant of the fact that a young man died because of what very much appears to be a lot of negligence on a lot of people's behalf. Oh, and by the way, the strength coach there is an absolute lunatic.
It's not a laughing matter, but you know, I didn't see that coming. I mean, it's obviously a horrible tragedy, but that's what's out there.
And I don't mean to make fun of it either. But
no, and I know you're not.
Yeah, I mean, you know these strength coaches, right? I mean, you know, again, some of them are hardcore militant, you know. But, you know, the guy I deal with here at the Redskins, Chad Englehart, you know, and a lot of people blame him for a lot of injuries, right? I mean, that's the popular thing to do. I mean, you know, the guy's hard, the guy's tough, the guy's, you know, built like the Incredible Hulk, but he's a good guy. You know, he's not screaming, right, Yelling, throwing weights, throwing dumbbells at people. You know, that's what this guy allegedly, in quotations, was doing.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable.
I'm sorry, people just don't make this up. This doesn't happen at every program in America.
No, no, you're right, and hopefully some good will come from it, because it is horrible that that it happened. Chris Russell in D.C. Great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. Have a great week, my friend.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate you having me.
Pete Fox is on that Sunset Strip for NBC Sports in Los Angeles, California. Pete, how are you, buddy?
Doing good, man.
Mike Trout to the DL. First of all, how bad is it? And does this end his campaign for the MVP?
You know, it's not that bad. They say it's just one of those aggravating, nagging wrist sprains. And I kind of feel like they look at this as, we don't want to make it worse. We don't want to injure him. We're going nowhere, even though, you know, we would never say that, obviously. But it just feels like, what's the point in, you know, running Mike Trout out there? We're, you know, double digits back in the West and the wild card. So what's the point? So we'll put him on the DL, let him heal up right. It's not the same wrist that he hurt a couple of years ago doing the exact same thing, sliding. He needs one of those little covers you strap around your hand and wrist when you get on the base pass. I guess he's adverse to using that for some reason, or adverse to sliding the way most baseball players slide on your butt. So he keeps doing the same thing, injuring his wrist, sliding head first, and I don't think he's ever going to stop doing that. So I look at this as just one of those unfortunate circumstances of playing baseball, and the Angels are like, you know, we're not going to risk hurting him any further. And, you know, I don't know necessarily that they put too much thought into whether or not he's an MVP candidate or not. And quite honestly, right now, there are plenty of other guys that deserve it more than he does.
Hinju Ryu on his way back for the Dodgers, going to be making a start. I think it's Wednesday. That gives him some help there in the rotation. I know Urias is coming along as well on his rehab assignment. Do the Dodgers have everything they need to actually go win it all this year?
You know, the unfortunate news about Kenley Jansen really has Dodger fans kind of worried, because the last couple of nights in Colorado, the bullpen just coughed up the game. Last night, walking in the game-winning run the night before, a walk-off homer. So these bullpen guys that are trying to pick up the slack for Kenley Jansen have really not done the job. So if Kenley Jansen is healthy and they can get rid of some of these middle guys like this Shagwa guy who is a disaster, I think, yes, they do. This Axford guy they added has been good, and they've moved some of the starters to the bullpen with the return of Hunjin. So it feels like they've got all the parts if they can perform to the level that, you know, you expect and you've seen them perform to before. But, you know, they've made a lot of moves with regard to the bullpen. I feel like that's the crucial function of winning a World Series, I think. And it feels like it's kind of tenuous at best, I would say, if Kenley Jansen is not 100%.
Are the Rams going to get a contract done with Aaron Donald?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is more about Aaron Donald saying, you know, I don't need to go to camp. I don't need to practice before the season starts. So I'm in no hurry to sign this deal. There's no way in hell the Rams are going to let him walk or not play. You know, you heard from the front office that they were, quote, in the same area code, zip code, et cetera, which means the deal is basically done, but Aaron Donald is kind of just dragging his feet, because he did this last year as well. So it's not any sort of surprise. He just doesn't want to get out there and go through camp and do all that needless practicing before the season starts.
All right. They acquire Cooks and give him a contract extension. They acquired Peters. They haven't given him a contract extension. Is one in the works, or is it a totally different situation?
You know, we don't hear a whole lot about that. I'm not exactly sure what's going on with that deal. It seems like, you know, maybe they're distracted or focused on the Aaron Donald deal and worried about that, and you know, we'll kind of wait and see what happens with Peters. I don't know. It's just, there's really just not a lot of talk, not a lot of buzz, not a lot out there about what's going on with his contract situation.
Okay. All right. And that's interesting. It's something to keep an eye on, I think. We'll see how it progresses there with the Rams. Great stuff. Pete Fox in L.A. Always appreciate the time, buddy. Have a great week.
Hey, you too. Thanks, man.